Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 24th, 2025. I have your host, James, here. We're joined right now by Roxanne Filts. She is Director of Curriculum and Instruction with our Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Roxanne, good to see you. Good to have you in studio.
Thank you very much.
Feels like it's been a while. It's good to have you and get to be able to talk with you and hang out. We do want to thank Ron for setting this up and everything. Ron was going to join us, but the day job comes first, and we get that. We completely understand that. Hard at work for our kids out there. We appreciate that. Appreciate you being here. And Roxanne, if you don't mind, before we dive into district report cards and some of the other topics we have today, I thought it'd be kind of fun for the audience to know a little bit more about what you do. As director of curriculum and instruction, that is a very, like, it sounds very cool. I'll be honest with you, it sounds like a very cool title. What does it mean? What do you exactly do?
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, James, for having me here. And I would first like to start by recognizing our CTE teachers. It's CTE, Computer Technology Education Month. I'd like to recognize them. And the first week of February, then, is also our School Counselors Month, School Counselors Week. So I'd like to give some appreciation, a shout out to them.
Two great groups. Yeah.
Perfect.
Big thank you to them.
Director of Curriculum and Instruction, it is a big umbrella that there's a lot of things that fall underneath that. So basically, any purchases, any time that we change any sort of curriculum in any of our curricular areas from 4K, even early childhood, all the way through our 12th grade students comes through my office. So I'm in charge of making sure that the curriculum that we are purchasing, that we're using in our classrooms, it's standard-based, it fits what the state is saying that we need to be teaching, that it is approved by our different curricular committees, that it is school board approved. It's my job to give an update every month to the school board through our Ed Services Committee on what we're doing in curriculum, whether that be professional development, the way that we're hiring teachers and retaining teachers. Our Mentor New Teacher Program is something that I work with. I work with all the Title I, Title II, Title IV grants in ensuring that we're giving equitable services to all of our students as far as our curricular resources are concerned. We need to evaluate our different curricular areas every year on do we have any holes or gaps in what it is that we're supposed to be teaching? Are we using best practices? Are our teachers getting the time that they need to collaborate? Are they getting the professional development that they need? Do our report card standards that we report to parents, do they align with what it is we're teaching in the classroom? And if they don't, what do we need to change with that? So a lot of that comes through my office. I lead a various amount of committees at the district level and do a lot of reporting both to the state and to the school board on what we're doing in curriculum.
So thank you for that, Roxanne. Mm-hmm. So when do you breathe? I joke because I think the audience is asking the same question there with a little bit. And I bring this up. I do think it's very interesting what you do. I really do. I would love to ghost you sometime on your job and what you do. But I hope this also puts a little understanding to our audience out there, whether you have kids in school or not, some empathy for our so many of the people working in this industry and how there is nobody doing one job. Everybody's got multiple things on their plate, and that takes a lot. There's a lot of spinning plates. We use that term a lot here in radio. Mm-hmm. All of us are spinning plates. We get this one going, and then we got to go get this one going.
100% true.
I can't even, that's a whole other level when it comes to what you're doing. I think that for a lot of us, every one of us at some point in high school got to choose some classes, and sometimes that could be a little overwhelming when you look at that list of classes and how many there are. Roxanne has to do that basically for every class in the whole school district. Essentially, and everything.
Correct.
And just I just admire it so much, and I do appreciate you giving us some insight into that. I hope that the audience can also take some appreciation for what you do and what you do for our kids out there.
I do want to give a shout out to my curriculum coordinators. I do have various leaders in the different curricular areas who manage the minutiae of the day-to-day in the classrooms that needs to be done, but then we work closely together on what do you need, what can I do, how can I come in and support you. I'm in classrooms and watching good teaching and watching ways that I can support that. So I do have a great team around me, which makes it easier.
Does help. Does
yes,
help.
I
can relate to that. I can relate to that. We did want to take some time to talk about district report cards. So let's dive right into that. How did that turn out this year? Did I do well? No, I didn't. Thankfully, you don't have to do mine. But we do want to dive into this subject.
Sure. Our district report cards came out. They were released to the board in November. I gave a full board report to the actual board committee at the board meeting, not through Ed Services. And as a whole, as a district, we've met expectations and we've improved. We've steadily improved since 2020, 2021. So that's a good sign that we are recovering and our students are improving. six out of seven of our elementary schools exceeded expectations. The one that did not met expectations, Lincoln High School exceeded expectations. Mm. Our middle school met expectations. We don't get a report card for Pitch Elementary or Pitch Early Learning, And then our alternative school gets an alternative or receives an alternative report card, and Central Oaks Academy met expectations. So overall, we did really well. And when you look at it, during my report, I give a comparison of how we fit in, just not with just local school districts, not sort of as a competition, but just to see, are we doing what we need to do? And also with the Valley. And we were the third highest in overall district scores when we're comparing ourselves with surrounding districts or with schools in the Valley. And that's also including we're the second highest in economically disadvantaged students. Whoa. So we're really working hard at making sure that we're that what we're offering to students, we are removing barriers for all of our students so they're able to take advantage of the different programs that we offer, and we're trying to do it in the best way that we can.
That hit me. That got my heart. I was one of those people, and I can relate to that. That's so cool to see, to hear. That's really awesome.
Right, and the other high point that I want to make just about school report cards in general was the fact that Lincoln High School was the second highest in the area and in the Valley, only behind Pittsville was the only school in the area that scored higher than them in the overall school score for the report card. So, and the one elementary school that didn't exceed expectations missed it by 0.4%.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, it's right there. It's right there. And they still met expectations.
They did. They absolutely did. And the nice thing about that I like about school report cards is it's not just based on test scores. It's not just on the state standardized tests. It also takes in graduation rates. It takes in attendance. It takes in, are our students not just achieving at grade level, but even those that aren't at grade level, are they growing? What is the percentage of students that are going? So basically, if they're achieving, are they going, you know, are they getting to the grade level? If they're growing, are they at, for layman's terms, are they at a B and now at a higher B? Or are they, you know, they may be below the benchmark, but are they growing and getting to the benchmark? So we get credit for that, which really helps us because that's what the overall view should be of a school. Are students growing?
I think that everybody can take some pride from this. I think there's a lot of good feeling that comes from this. As a former Lincoln alum, I'm certain think bragging in my head about it and everything. But just as that feels good, there's some, you know, importance behind this in the data that's collected with this information as far as funding and other things that go, you know, this plays into.
Correct. And it's we want to be able to just highlight what we do well, because you know as much as I do that what makes the paper are the negative things. And you know what we need to do is just highlight the things that we do well. For instance, the school report card also looks at our advanced classes that we offer at Lincoln High School, our AP classes, our industry recognized credentials, and our work-based learning. And we've improved greatly even just this year. So at the end of 2023, the graduates, we had 16% of our graduates, which equaled 169 students, took an AP course. This last graduates of 2024, we had 189 students. So we've increased there. Dual enrollment, 2023 graduates, we had 31.3% take at least one dual enrollment course. Now we're at 47%. So 543 dual enrollment courses were taken by our students. Industry recognized credentials, we have 57 students that earned at least one industry recognized credential that graduated last year in 2024, and we have 121 students that graduated in 2024 that participated in a work-based learning program. So it's not just about what are the test scores, what's that snapshot in time, but it's also that view of what are we doing to make our students ready for the next step, whether it be a four-year college, a two-year college, an associate degree, whether it be earning an internship or an apprenticeship in high school so that they're able to walk out of their senior year graduation and start a job because they've had work-based experience, because they've earned their industry-recognized credentials that go right on their resume once they leave high school. And we as a district are very supportive of those things. We have our building construction class that builds a house every year for somebody that wants it. I mean, you don't see that in other area schools as often.
And again, this is something I think a lot of, almost everybody can take pride pride in. You parents out there that help with this so much, you can take a lot of pride in this. Certainly the staff and the teachers that put so much into these things. Some of the other groups that work in the schools certainly helping out with this. I do want to take a note to compliment the students too, though.
Absolutely.
And so much of the work that we get into when we talk about these things, and that should be noted. I don't know if we, I'm not saying you and your staff, I just mean me and society, that we don't do that, I think, enough. And just, hey, these are pretty impressive numbers. These kids are pretty darn impressive.
They are.
It's pretty cool.
I had the opportunity a couple of years ago to sit with Eric Seiler, who's our CTE coordinator, and he went into I think it was Point Precision in Plover, and was doing an exit interview with a student who had worked so hard his senior year that he was able to graduate and walk right into a position at Point Precision with little training because he had it all. Well, it's the motivation and the desire of our students to want to know what they want to do and aren't afraid to go out and get it because the opportunities are there for them.
And and it's so encouraging seeing so much of this in the younger generation.
Yes.
They're not going to sit back and wait for their opportunity. They're taking it. They're jumping into it.
And that is shown by the number of students that are enrolling in these courses. And, I mean, a very motivated student could enter a college, a four-year college, as a second-year or second-semester sophomore if they've received all of the credits that they could at high school if they were motivated to do it. So we have a lot of students that leave Lincoln High School with almost a full year of college done, or they have an associate degree or very close to an associate degree when they leave Lincoln. So it really gets them set up for the next step.
And speaking of that, I think a natural transition going right into dual credits, AP options, mm-hmm. some of that is offered, and some of the, I think, really cool things that are being going on with this.
Right, right. We offer things like some of our industry recognized credentials. We've got 8 courses. We have an assisted child care teacher course, a CNA course, Fusion 360, which is a computer aided drawing course. We have an advanced manufacturing, IT, which is infant toddler. These are all industry recognized credentials that students can leave Lincoln High School with that in their back pocket. The building and construction, which is part of the international carpenters training, a Microsoft Office credential that we can give students, and a Snap-on certification through our auto classes. And we're adding 5 more industry, or we're in the process of adding 5 more industry recognized credentials for next year already. And the nice thing is, the more that we can encourage students to take things like these industry recognized credentials or this work-based learning, the more money the school district receives, because for every student that finishes one of these programs successfully, we get monies back through a workforce incentive grant. Mm-hmm. So those incentive grants help us beef up our technical learning resources that we need for students to continue to grow.
It's such a win-win kind of situation. All of this that we've been talking about here with all these things, and with the dual credit option, it's not just a win-win for the students, for the the school industry, all of these things. The business world and our taxes and our economy and all these things are made better by this. The sooner we can get kids into the workforce, and not just throw them into the workforce, but they're prepared for. I love the idea of setting these kids up to succeed.
Sure.
I love the idea of, hey, you're out there in the real world now. Good luck. No, that's not enough. We're going to give you a hand there. We're going to say good luck while we're also seeing you to this business or something, and get you on your feet a little bit, get you
right.
Started on this in adulthood, let alone in the workforce, and really give them the chance to achieve the things that they want to.
And none of this would be possible if it weren't for our partnerships with Mid-State Technical College, mm-hmm. who works hand in hand with us, and we have a dual credit partnership with UW Green Bay. And if we weren't able to offer discounted credits to our students or scholarships through UW Green Bay, or if Mid-State wasn't able to work with us in offering these courses to our students, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in. So, and kudos to all of the companies out there, in the local companies, the local businesses that take our students in and offer them these apprenticeships, because if it weren't for our community partnerships, this program definitely wouldn't be as successful as it is.
And I, just in the little bit of research I've been able to do on this subject, not just here, but around the country and everything, you're going to be seeing more of this, I think, going forward. You're going to be seeing
sure.
more of these businesses, the seeing the smartness and the in this, and being able to build a bridge. And, I could have somebody like already almost ready ready to go into my company before they even graduate high school. Like that's mm-hmm. that is staggering, like interesting to me and very cool for not just, again, all the topics that I've mentioned here, but I just think that that's that feels more and more like the system that we should have always had.
I totally agree.
It really makes sense a lot.
And it keeps our graduates here.
Yes, which is so key to going forward to. I mean, we talk about this with Mayor Matt all the time, and really with all the mayors we've had on, mm-hmm. one of the biggest things any rural community is looking to do is keep their people. And being able to do that, this helps with that a lot, especially the recruiting part of it and everything.
Absolutely.
We wanted to touch on one other thing, too, the possibility of youth apprenticeship options. This is a good option or a good availability for kids, too.
Right, and we're able to partner again with all of our local businesses.
You touched on this a little bit, yeah.
So that we're able to partner with them to give that opportunity to our students.
So what we're wondering about that is are there going to be more options available? If I'm a business out there listening to this, and I'm like, oh, that's a really good idea. Can I reach out? Can I find out more about?
Absolutely. Maybe? You can reach out to me or to Eric Seiler, who is our CTE coordinator and works very, very hard with trying to make as many connections as he can in the community to get our students into various businesses. And we're always looking for more opportunities for our students to get out there and perform an apprenticeship program or even get some work-based learning experience.
We're speaking with Roxanne Filtz, Director of Curriculum and Instruction with Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools. Roxanne, before we get into our final topic here, I did want to mention one thing, and this comes up. This isn't so much from me as it is from the community. I hear this, one of the more consistent things I hear from our community is they so much appreciate the transparency. And the openness of you and the staff and Ron and so many of the individuals that are working in this industry, the teachers out there, you know better than I do how vital that is in this day and age. And I think that often, I know, especially experiencing this quite a bit in my life, more times than not, the reason people have an issue or a problem or a fear of something is they just don't know. Growing up, I had plenty of times where people found out I was Jewish and were afraid to shake my hand, you know, mm-hmm. or something like that. And then when they find out a little bit, they're like, oh, you're just a person.
Right,
like, oh, you're
right.
No different than me at all or anything, you know. And then you clear that up and everything. I genuinely think that most people out there have a good heart, have good intentions. They just don't have all the information. With transparency, we get that out there. And you guys cover that, do such a good job of that. I just wanted to take a note and mention
that. I appreciate that. That's one thing I try to do is be very transparent.
We wanted to talk a little bit about Act 20 and how this will impact WRPS.
Sure. Act 20 is on the front and center plate of anybody in curriculum right now. And I'm very fortunate to have an assistant director of curriculum, Jen Wilhorn, who has taken on our Act 20 work. She is just doing a great job of organizing all that. So those of you that are not familiar with Act 20, what Act 20 does, it requires that schools assess early reading skills in students in grades 4K through 3rd, and that it requires daily reading instruction in K through 3 that's based on the science of reading. And because of that, we have had to change our reading curriculum this year, which we purchased a program called Amplify CKLA, and we went through the entire curriculum purchase process, which includes an open forum for parents and community members to come in and look at whatever it is that we're purchasing. It's, you know, it's out there. You can come in, you can look at everything, ask any questions that you want. Another thing that we've had to do is, because we're implementing Amplify CKLA, we have had to make sure that our teachers receive the professional development and the training that they needed, not just for making sure that Amplify is used correctly, but all of the training that we need for the required screeners, because we had to change to the state screener. The state adopted Ames Web Plus, and they adopted it late because it wasn't until the school year started that we knew what the screener was going to be. So now all of our teachers had to be trained on how to give this screener. So what Act 20 requires is that every student in grades K through 3 receives this universal screener, and any student that scores under the 25th percentile then has to go through diagnostic testing within 10 days of getting their results on the screener. So we are in the process now. We had to implement it starting mid-year. So our third grade students across the district have completed the screener, and we've completed the diagnostic testing for those that scored underneath the 25th percentile. We have completed the screeners for our second graders, and now we're working on the diagnostic screeners that have to follow if they've scored below the 25th percentile. And all of this is done by our reading interventionists and our classroom teachers, and it is a lot of work, and kudos to them and a shout out to them for what they're doing. And then any student that scores under the 25th percentile Now we have to write a personal reading plan for these students. What are the goals? Where are their deficits? It's informing constant communication with parents on these were the screeners, this was the diagnostic testing, this is where your student is struggling, and this is our plan for being able to get your student back to grade level. So all of this is being done at the same time that our teachers and our elementary administrators, so all K-3 teachers, and we chose to do K-5 because of the transiency of our staff going from grade level to grade level, they have to receive a state-required reading training, which is 40 hours of reading training that has to be done outside of the regular school day. So we've chosen to do that on our professional development days. And all of our elementary school teachers are going through this and going through this training, as so is our administrators. So that's in addition to what we're doing already. And we also have to write a literacy plan that is posted on our district report card. Mm-hmm. That is a requirement of Act 20. And then the next steps is we have to create a promotion plan from third grade to fourth grade that has to be accepted by the board. So we have to get that to our school board by June. And we're getting some guidance from the DPI and from our board policy program writers, which is NEOLA. We're getting some guidance from them as well. And then finally, we have to develop what we're going to offer during summer school for those students that aren't meeting the goals in their personal reading plans. So it is a huge, huge undertaking. And it's not just Rapids. It's all public school districts that have to go through this.
Wonderful description. Thank you so much for that, especially for those who may not be familiar with what this is. And hopefully everybody else had a similar feeling that I did to this. My goodness, we have amazing teachers and amazing people in this industry.
I can't say
just
enough.
Incredible individuals. Nobody gets into teaching for fame or money or anything. They get into it because they have a passion and a love for this. And it shows with things like this, that the dedication to our kids, the dedication to our future. There is no greater investment any of us can make than the kids and the future of this. We all understand how important reading is. It's great to hear all the work that's being done. It's also, I hope everybody, again, just could take a breath and be like, wow, we have some amazing teachers, some amazing people in this industry working so hard for our kids.
100%. And the thing is, you know, you can agree with Act 20. You don't have to agree with Act 20. That doesn't matter. The idea that we are talking about reading and we're doing what's best for our kids to get them to succeed and we're making sure that reading is in the forefront, that can't be bad.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, we don't want to put anything else in the background. You don't want to have math slip because we're concentrating too much on reading. And so we're working really hard with our math programs as well. But right now, the focus just seems to be on making sure that Act 20 is not only implemented to the letter of the law, but also we want to make sure that it's improving student learning. We're not going to do it because we just have to. We want to do it because it's what's best for kids.
Well said. If you have questions or looking for further information, I encourage you to check out the website, wrps.org, wrps.org. I encourage you to do that. And be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date and all the things going on in our public schools. Roxanne, don't be a stranger. We look forward to hanging out again and talking real soon.
I enjoyed this very much. Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
You as well.
And everybody out there, have a great weekend. And a big thank you to Pam Hilke and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week right here at WFHR.